All right, happy Tuesday to those who are listening to the Language of Behavior podcast. Of course, I have my co-host, Charlie Peck, with me, but we also have a dear friend of ours who's doing some phenomenal things in education, Dr. Brandi Kelly. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast today. I appreciate it.
We're super excited because you have a book that is launching here very, very soon. And Charlie and I are so excited because you've been a superintendent for a long time. You're doing great things at the district level, but you're also supporting so many educators. Charlie, I know that you have another lens of all the things that Brandi's doing. So will you share out, you know, all of the skills that she possesses?
Yes, you guys, listen. I mean, it is so difficult to find an education, a leader on a superintendent level, especially, but even systemically, to have a licensed clinical social worker lens. And oh my goodness. So that is just one of the things that you're licensed in, but you're also a Maxwell certified coach, which I can't wait to hear more about that. But what's so truly valuable is that you are able to see not only what's going on emotionally, academically with everybody, but that structural view that you get with a social worker background and then having a clinical background. Oh my goodness, Brandi, let's talk about that first. How has that helped you?
Yeah, that has been phenomenal. And really, it's kind of opened this pathway to me to write this book, Lead with Hope, Building a System of Self-Efficacy, because, you know, as you guys know, the landscape of education right now, it's just so stressful. And statistically speaking, anxiety and depression is on the rise. And many of us carry with us trauma and or adversity in our lives. And so just having that social work background and that clinical lens to look at all of this through, it really helps me to look at things from a more strengths-based perspective so that we can kind of start looking for protective factors, ways that we can bolster up our self-efficacy and protect our people so that we can lead with hope.
It is important. And tell us about the Maxwell certified coaching. Like, what is that about? Mm-hmm. Tell everybody what that is and how that's helped you.
You know, as I have been in leadership, John Maxwell is just a phenomenal author and leader, and he has so many resources out in the world. And I came across the opportunity to study on his platform. And through my work with his company, I was able to get that coaching certification. And it's just another layer. You know, they provide speaking guidance, they provide coaching guidance from renowned experts in the field. And so it's just been a phenomenal experience in terms of providing me with just additional professional development as we're all learning and growing and becoming each and every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating to know on a human level, like how a system is about all the people that are important in there, right? And all the contributions. So when you say like a strength-based approach, mm-hmm. how can you use people's strengths mm-hmm. to change this system that we're in now to be even better?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Charlie, when you think about it, we talk about meeting our kids where they are. And my philosophy is that we need to meet each and every person where they are. We come to schools, to districts, to organizations with a unique set of strengths, weaknesses. We are who we are, and our experiences really shape who we are becoming. And I think that as we are using a system of self-efficacy, we have to take all that into consideration, and we have to take the strengths-based approach in terms of looking at what somebody brings to the table and building on that. Instead of looking at more of a medical model where it's a deficit model, we want to focus on what we want to grow. So looking at the strengths and growing from that strengths-based perspective just provides a powerful lens for us to build people up and to build that capacity in our organizations, in our school districts, and to help teachers, help staff, help students.
And Josh, you know, I'll take over, so you can just jump in anytime. I have another question though.
Please. It.
Okay. So there's so many issues Josh and I are seeing with behavior issues. We keep hearing about behavior issues that are leading to teacher burnout and all of this. How can you use that idea of self-efficacy to shift that and the problems that we're seeing there?
I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, with this system of self-efficacy, we have to lead ourselves well before we can lead anybody else. And so as a teacher in a classroom dealing with those behavior issues, they are the leader of that classroom. So let's look at ourselves through that lens of self-reflection. We have to look inward in order to build the habits, build the mindset or the optimistic outlook, connect with our purpose, with passion and perseverance, and then have that expectation for excellence. But the first step is just self-reflection, getting to know yourself better, building that self-awareness. And then from there, taking those strengths and building habits. One of the habits that I love is obviously self-reflection. But then in addition with that, we know that those relationships are so incredibly important. And if I can tell a little, just a brief story, in my journey as a high school student, I had two teachers that I loved. One teacher, high school English teacher, Mr. Kingery, he really focused on that strengths-based perspective. He fostered a love of learning in me. I loved going to his class and I loved learning. And it was because of the relationship that I had with him. I had another teacher who I won't say her name because she had a different approach. While she was a great teacher, she told me that in high school, I was engaged. I know I got married very, very young. And she told me that if I got married, I would never become anything, that I would just ruin my entire future. And that challenged me. And because of my personality, it really did spur me on to stay in education for, gosh, 23 years now after high school. I'm still in education. But both of those teachers had very different ways of relating to their students. But you know, when you look at the strengths-based perspective, how much more powerful is that? You know, Mr. Kingery's approach, I still remember him and I can talk about him and I can share this this power of the strengths-based perspective because of the way he inspired me. And don't we want to do that for our kids as well? But we have to know who we are and what makes us tick and what our strengths are in order to be able to pour into other people.
All right. So I want to talk about the leadership lens here, because obviously it's lead with hope. Yes. And I know with this new resource, you probably have a lot of strategies as far as combating the things that we've already discussed for our teachers specifically. So can you share out some things that you're doing as a superintendent? I mean, obviously you have this wonderful experience. You also have all of these tools that you've possessed over time through the various things that you've done in your journey as far as your different roles. So, you know, as a superintendent, what are you doing to help your staff as a whole to go through some really tough times that they're facing right now?
Yeah. The cornerstone of Lead with Hope is habits. Habits are so impactful. It's the consistent actions that we take that compound and help us to become better over time. And so that's really the core of it. I encourage that social connection. I encourage relationship building is so incredibly important. The attitude of gratitude, focusing on the things that you're grateful for in this life. There's some research that shows that if you consistently every day focus on first thing in the morning, five things that you're grateful for, that just shapes the way your whole day is going to go. And by focusing on what you're grateful for, the blessings in your life, I think John Gordon says he's too blessed to be stressed. So focusing on that attitude of gratitude really frames the mindset that you go into your day with. And just those very simple, consistent habits, that's the cornerstone. That's where the gold is. And that's what we have to focus on.
So what do you do, Brandy, with those teachers who push back and say, you know, I can't buy into this anymore. I'm so sick of reflecting. I'm so sick of looking at things that tell me to just have relationships with kids and it's going to make their behavior go away, because it won't. And I'm just done with that. What do you do with that pushback?
Yeah. In my book, I talk about margins and I talk about the Pareto principle. And sometimes you just have to use Mel Robbins' word, you just have to let them. You know, there are some people that all you can do is model what works. And Albert Bandura says there are four sources: mastery experiences, vicarious experiences, social persuasion, and affective states. And through modeling, through seeing the power of what's really working, hopefully they will eventually see, you know, see the way and jump on board. But you can't force it. They have to choose to engage in the best practices or the highly effective habits or not. It is their choice and they have that free will. But each and every day, you have to model it. You have to stay true to who you are. You have to connect with your core values. You know, my core values are faith, family, service, and community. And by staying true to that and then reconnecting intentionally with my purpose, why am I doing this? And then encouraging them. Everybody in education, I believe, got into education because of a teacher or an experience or a story. We all have a story. And Brené Brown says, owning your story and loving yourself through it is the bravest thing we will ever do. We all have a story. And if we can be authentic and vulnerable and share our stories with one another, we're going to connect. And that relationship piece is just going to happen naturally.
So Brandy, for the relationship building, and you talked about modeling, what does that look like for you as far as you modeling to your other staff members? Because sometimes we just assume like, oh, our teachers know how to build relationships with their students, know how to build relationships with other staff members. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case. So what are you doing to show everyone like, this is how you can do it?
Yeah, I think it happens through, you know, just naturally occurring conversations, naturally occurring connections that you engage in each and every day. But it also happens through professional development. We have to be strategic with our professional development. Some of the professional development we've done in our district this year is our focus. One of our areas of focus is on building that culture and emphasizing that culture is created by all. So the speakers that we have come in, They are talking about culture. They are talking about behavior. They are talking about classroom management, and they are providing strategies. And then in addition to that, our principals have to go in and they have to do those regular walkthroughs and give the teachers the feedback. And again, from that strengths-based perspective, we want some supportive accountability here. It's not a got you experience. It's a, okay, I'm seeing you implement this. How is it working? Having that dialogue and that conversation with them is so impactful because most educators are going to see what's working, what's not working through that reflective conversation that they have with their colleague or their administrator. And we have to create the opportunities in our schools so that we are consistently learning and growing. And again, modeling that growth mindset.
Yeah. And that's interesting you say about professional development, because that's a lot of the work Josh and I do is around professional development too. Yeah. And what are people looking for? So I heard those strategies, the tools, the accountability piece, like how do you make decisions on next year? Like, because there's a lot of people out there who claim to have these great ideas and great professional development, but what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Because I think that goes into your own practice too. That's why.
Yeah. And I think it's, I really think it is complicated. That piece is complicated because in my experience, what I've seen that teachers want is they want voice and they want choice around their professional development. So when you just have one or two speakers come in and talk about what is, what you need to do in your classroom, that sit and get, that's not what people want anymore. They want to be engaged in it. They want to be involved in it and they want to have choice. So, you know, having a menu of options for them, having three or four things that they can choose from and we can personalize it. I think that's where we need to take our professional development is with our teachers. We need to give them choice, but then we need to allow them to personalize it to what they need in their classrooms. And I also think that we need to, yes, it needs to be professional, but it also needs to be personal because sometimes we need growth both personally and professionally to help us to be a better teacher or principal or superintendent. And so we need to look at the whole person, mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah. Brandy, will you just talk about your brand new book and maybe the why behind it, why you created it? And then, of course, what are folks going to receive with this beautiful resource?
Yeah. So I have written a book called Lead with Hope, Building a System of Self-Efficacy. And during the pandemic, I started you know, learning about organizations like Teach Better and started blogging with Teach Better. And that's when I wrote my first 4-part series, Lead with Hope. And that's kind of where all of this came from. But it's been an intentional practice of self-reflection that has built my self-awareness and self-efficacy. Because when I look back, this all really started when I was 15. It was a May day, a rainy May day, and I was at home cleaning the house because I had to clean the house on Saturdays. I felt kind of like Cinderella. It was prom night, and my mom said I had to clean the house before I could go to prom. Well, my little brother, Dustin, ran into the kitchen that rainy Saturday afternoon, and he told my dad and myself that our brother, Brandon, fell in the creek. Well, I went ahead and went to prom. My mom and dad went and looked for Bub. We called him Bub. I went to prom. The next day was Mother's Day, and they found Bub. Divers actually found Bub on Monday afternoon and pulled him out of the creek. And that tragedy, that trauma, was kind of the origin of my story of Lead with Hope, because out of that tragedy emerged goodness. Our community rallied around our family. The school community, they call his class the 95ers, and they created a memory book, and they shared about Brandon's mischievous, ornery class clown behaviors. Bub had a golden heart. He was such a sweet, sweet, sweet boy, and his classmates remembered him fondly and documented that in this memory book that they gave our family. They recognized him at graduation many years later, and that class and that school community will always have a special place in my heart because of the way they supported our family. And for that reason, I went into education. I see it more as a calling than a career. And I think that it is our responsibility to help those that are struggling with traumas and tragedies. And we can be the light in this world. And that's what I want to be for people that are struggling and they need hope in this world. And I think now we need hope more than ever. You know, like I said earlier, there's so much anxiety and so much depression in our world. Many people have dealt with a trauma or a tragedy, and we need to shine light, and we need to give hope to people that feel hopeless. And I think my book will do this through helping people build a system of self-efficacy. Self-efficacy helps to protect against depression and anxiety and traumas that we face in our life. And individuals who buy my book will see the vulnerable stories that I share about my personal life and my professional life. They will be able to take an assessment and see what areas are their strengths, what areas do they need to work on. And then there's an action section where they can build their own system of hope to bolster their self-efficacy and provide some protective factors for the stresses and the hardships that we face in this life.
I thought you might weave some of that back in. Mm-hmm. And I also was thinking before, like when you said, when you work with people in professional development, for example, yeah, that you need to make it not only professional, but personal.
Yeah.
And so I know that your work does that. I do. We have a history. I know that your work does that. And I've had a glimpse of your book, so I know it's in there. And so when you do get the chance to work with people, what's that going to look like, Brandy? Because people are going to need that side of it.
Yeah. You know, I think whenever we start working together, it is. It's so personal. It's so personal. And we don't get a course on self-reflection, self-awareness, self-efficacy. Many leaders don't even know what self-efficacy or leader efficacy is in the realm of their personal or professional lives. And so the first step is just getting to know each other, getting to know what makes people tick, what makes people, what is their passion? What sparks a light in them? Where do they derive joy? You know, what do they enjoy doing? And just getting to know people on that personal level, and then diving into that assessment and really beginning to craft that system of hope. And it's through those intentional steps, the intentional goals and objectives around habits, optimistic outlook or mindset, purpose, passion, perseverance, and excellence, that we're then able to identify the specific steps that we can take to build a system of hope and eventually a culture of hope in your school.
Brandy, will you just share out, you have a free guide on your website for building your system of hope. And yes. I'm going to put the link up for everyone to see on YouTube. And of course, we'll have this link in the show notes for everyone. But will you just describe what that guide is?
Yeah. So that guide is a guide that is going to take you through developing a system of hope for yourself. And in that guide, you're going to get a glimpse of the assessment. And you can take that assessment and then you can go through some reflection questions and start building your system of hope with each letter of the framework of hope. And through doing that, at the very end, there is like a checklist that kind of just keeps you accountable to that, because Brené Brown says clear is kind. And I think that as you are looking at that and you see the steps and the checklist, different people, our brains work differently. And so I've tried to generate something that is going to be appealing on several different levels. But going through that checklist, you're going to be able to hold yourself accountable. And I would encourage you to get an accountability partner, you know, somebody that you can do this work with, whether it's a coach, or if you want to reach out to me, or maybe you have a friend or a colleague that you want to do this with. It's just so much more powerful when we do it together.
Absolutely. Wow. Gosh. Well, thank you, Brandy. I can't wait for your publication to actually come in so I can have it in my hands. Mm-hmm. Can you tell people when that's coming out and what to expect and where they can find it?
Absolutely. It'll be out on May 5th and it will be available on Amazon. And I am also looking forward to having it in my hands, having that tangible copy right there in my hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to sharing it with the world.
Well, we can't wait. And so we'll make sure that we have links for everyone to connect with Brandy. Of course, I've been flashing your website on the screen for those who are watching on YouTube throughout our conversation. So that's leadwithhope.net. Make sure that you are reaching out to Brandy, connecting with her, following all the beautiful work that she's doing, and make sure you grab your copy of Lead with Hope when it releases here soon. We can't wait for you to get it in your hand too, Brandy. It's always a special moment when you get to hold your book for the first time. And we're just so excited for the success and then also the impact that your new book will have on educators all across the country. Real quick, if you want to reach out to myself or Charlie, I'm going to throw our links up here real quick too, as you know, we're always looking for questions and for folks to connect with us. So you've got thrivingeducator.org for Charlie. You've got my website, joshtamper.com. So you can make sure that you connect with us there. If you want more information on our book and the resources and services that we provide, you can always head over to joshtamper.com/languagebehavior. And we always are looking for folks to send questions our ways so we can have those for future episodes. But with that, Brandy, I just wanted to thank you so much for your time, all the things that you're doing, not only again for your school district, but for educators across the country. And we're just super excited about the work and the future that you have as you are continuously improving the world of education.
Josh, Charlie, I appreciate you having me on the show today, and I look forward to staying connected and impacting education and leading with hope with you and all the listeners.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.